Today's episode of SideQuest is dedicated to a shockingly contentious issue in the gaming industry. The role politics play not only in the creation of video games, but in the coverage and consumption of video games too. This is a third rail type issue not because of developers or publishers, and it certainly has nothing to do with those who buy and play games. The reason politics in gaming is so contentious is because of many people who poorly cover our industry. Their one-note, isolated, holier-than-thou political stances, wedged into the ether of most major gaming publications, into their podcasts, their videos, and their Twitter feeds, has poisoned the well for everyone, alienating many of their readers, listeners, and viewers, and further precipitating the fall of many gaming outlets at the hands of YouTube, Twitch, and independent podcasts. Many journalists have done a massive disservice to enthusiasts, delegitimizing the very art of creating, covering, and dissecting games by focusing everything through the same narrow, heavily filtered lens. Worse yet, they've dropped the ball so catastrophically that they've convinced entire swaths of gamers that gaming, itself a high art form, should be treated differently than other forms of art, ripped from context and meaning and delivered as products on a shelf. Games Press is so incapable of doing its job properly that many gamers are desperate to just get the news and pertinent information and get out before they're hit with the next predictable truckload of derivative talking points, delivered from an ivory tower so tall and distant that it's as if some of these writers live on a completely different planet. I don't blame more and more players for just wanting the facts, as it were. The established monoculture in the Games Press is so thorough and so ubiquitous that it has become a tiring affair, especially when it seems the aim is to not only diminish other ideas and viewpoints, but to pretend that they don't exist at all. But I fear that a drive for purely apolitical commentary comes at the detriment of what we all truly love, video games themselves. They deserve to be treated, written about, and covered by knowledgeable people from all over the political spectrum, through not only the consumer lens, but economic, philosophical, social, and historical lenses, drawing from all sorts of experiences, using all sorts of references, viewed via any number of different vantage points. Not all video games are political, and not all games writing should be political either. Not all video games are made with political intent, from a political perspective, or using political tools. There simply aren't poignant or meaningful things that can or should be said about any number of games. But let's not make the other extreme true either, that there's nothing worthwhile to explore and dissect and delve into, all because some games journalists have so obviously let us all down. I think that by fleeing from having greater and more diverse conversations around not only games, but the whole world surrounding them, that we are stripping them of their true place in the pantheon of human art and human artistic expression. I can't blame people for drawing the conclusion that politics is corrupting and ruining video games. I just think the conclusion is wrong, driven by an inept games media, and I think we can repair the damage. But we need to embrace more viewpoints, not fewer. The reason this comes up at all is because last week it was announced that The Escapist, the long-dormant, once-popular gaming website, would be making a comeback. That in and of itself is a strange development worth exploring, specifically because you have to be financially suicidal to open a gaming website in 2018, when and where it's highly unlikely you'll find a sustainable long-term audience when audiences are already fleeing established websites in droves. But that's not what I want this particular video to be about. Rather, I want one statement in the announcement of The Escapist revival to be the focal point of our discussion. Russ Pitts, the editor-in-chief of the once-old, now-new site, wrote the following, quote, "One thing I can tell you without delay or equivocation, we're leaving politics at the door. Most of us have thoughts about politics, just like most of you, and because we're creators, those thoughts might show up in our work. Avoiding that would be unnatural. That said, I can promise you no one here will share their politics in an attempt to convince you yours are wrong, and your worth will not be calculated based on whether you're on the left or on the right. Politics are everywhere, but they don't have to be everything. We're going to focus on what's fun, and we hope you'll join us in that," end quote. There's a great deal to unravel in that statement, but for the purposes of this short video, I want to hone in on the idea of leaving politics at the door, a completely novel concept considering how politicized our industry and our worlds have become. Even though this view is the natural outcome of dealing with a blatantly politically biased media for years, I think it's a dangerous view to take. Instead of leaving politics at the door, why don't we try placing our political views only where they belong? And I know this is going to be a truly novel concept, but why don't we try to elevate some different voices too? This may be controversial, but oh well. Your staff of writers, editors, and producers is only actually diverse if what's in their heads is diverse. Race, gender, sexual orientation, religion, etc. are completely skin deep, and frankly, completely meaningless in the grand scheme of things. That's not diversity. And when everyone has the same exact things in their heads, they end up writing and producing content from the same exact viewpoint. And when only those views proliferate under the banner of faux diversity, based on immutable characteristics and not actual thought, then we find ourselves in a position where we're fleeing deeper context and deeper meaning, instead of embracing it. The reaction in established media circles to The Escapist's announcement tells the tale. Games media types big and small, afraid that their already slipping grip over mainstream games coverage is getting worse, overreacted, much as they overreact to literally everything else. And the lack of self-awareness, that they in fact single-handedly created the environment that made a proclamation like The Escapist even seemingly necessary, was totally lost on them. MCV, yet another dying game website, reported on Pitt's letter noting that, quote, "The use of phrases like culture war and leaving politics at the door will likely be seen as a metaphorical dog whistle," end quote. Waypoint's Patrick Klepek predictably reiterated the same dog whistle phrase, which, by the way, is basically implying that anyone who doesn't want politics and games coverage, or the same politics and games coverage, are racist and bigots, just so you know. Hell, even movie critic Bob Chipman, who contributed massively to the politicization of fandom, and who was actually working for The New Escapist, attempted to undermine the overarching message from the website's leadership. The tangible fright over someone, anyone, attempting to distance themselves from the orthodox position of greater games media speaks absolute volumes. I could also point you towards people that are straight up lying to you about the current situation in games media, in an attempt to ensure that no change ever comes forth. Documentarian Danny O'Dwyer contributed more predictable talking points when he tweeted out, quote, "The narrative that the games media is a clique of self-serving, liberal-minded gatekeepers has always been bullshit. Once I eventually broke in, I found an industry full of folks with different opinions, creative and passionate people willing to argue their points loudly and proudly," end quote. Danny can't actually name any of the people that make up this diverse mirror image of the actual reality of contemporary games media, but that of course won't stop him from pretending. He can't even point to their work. I'll reiterate what I tweeted months ago and got made fun of by every corner of games media. Name one conservative or libertarian voice at a mainstream games outlet. Just name one. If it's already so ideologically diverse, this shouldn't be a problem whatsoever. Quite the opposite, actually. Wouldn't Danny and his friends be eager to point to the many apparently visible, open, and out there disparate voices that counteract their own? They can't, of course, so they continue to deflect. Danny also tweeted out that, quote, "The narrative that libertarian and conservative people are met with hostility is bullshit. However, I would say that the people with immature, antisocial behavior are met with hostility. Rejection of their political leanings is just a convenient smokescreen," end quote. I'm not even going to qualify that nonsense further, other than to say that you have to be exceptionally dim-witted to actually believe that, in the face of what's actually happening, full stop. This guy is pissing on your head and telling you it's raining. It's up to you whether or not you want to grab your umbrella and go along with that narrative, but it is what it is, visible before your eyes, sitting in clear daylight. The same people who defended James Gunn's jokes tried to destroy my life for telling an innocuous joke about my girlfriend, all because of our respective proximity to politics they deem harmful. Get real, no one's buying it. See, friends, in the real world, it's completely clear why The Escapist felt the need to make that pledge, but it's also clear that we have a games press so bad that attempting to tell both sides of the story, remain neutral, or elevate different voices with different perspectives is akin to a crime. My friend Jason Schreier, the only reason anyone reads Kotaku, tweeted out the following, quote, "I wish the best to everyone at The New Escapist, but to avoid political topics, unionization, crunch, sexism, workers' rights, harassment, the rise of the alt-right, and so on, is to neglect your job as a journalist covering games," end quote. I actually agree with Jason here, but it's the subtext that's actually most important. It's not that most people want to escape that kind of coverage completely. It's simply that they'd like to hear more perspectives. I know for a fact that many developers work long hours because they're perfectionists. Wouldn't it be interesting to hear that other side of the crunch story, or is that not controversial enough? Several years ago, a high-profile woman in the industry told me completely on the record that she's never been treated differently because of her gender even one time, which doesn't discount the many examples of women who have been mistreated and abused, but merely tells a different story. I never told anyone that because I was afraid of the repercussions for her, ironically. The rise of the alt-right is absolutely worth exploring, but what about the rise of the identitarian left in gaming? The people that are attempting to puritanically filter everything we play, who try to get people fired from their jobs, who shame corporations into towing their line, who of course rarely live up to their own moral outlines in the process. Is that also not an interesting story? And workers' rights and unionization is a fascinating throughline. Yet I know plenty of devs who would never want to unionize, and plenty of publishers who are rightly horrified that unionization could destroy their ability to make money. Are you not interested in also telling those stories? I know it's hard to believe, but there are stories you're not telling, and you're doing it willfully. Jason makes this exact point, actually, when in response to a fan's tweet, he wrote, quote, "Journalists and critics covering the industry and culture of video games have a responsibility to look beyond the products and cover the people around them," end quote. Well said, my friend. I wonder when you and your fellow writers and editors are actually going to endeavor to do that. When Jason later writes to another fan, quote, "Let's be real. The people who want politics out of video game coverage don't want game reviewers talking about racism or sexism," end quote. I think he's conflating two things. Politics is about more than just racism and sexism, believe it or not, and yet that's all we hear about, and we always hear about it from one angle. We'd have a lot of respect for Kotaku, for instance, if they explored the other side of the Kingdom Come Deliverance farce, or the character assassination of a developer over his political views, but we don't hear those stories. People conflate the word politics with what you guys do, and it's simply not good enough. It has to change, and it will change. Whether or not your websites exist once you pull your heads out of the sand is, of course, another story entirely. See, I'm not interested in excluding any viewpoints, while most people in the mainstream games press absolutely are. I want to hear many more viewpoints, conflicting viewpoints, controversial viewpoints, over-the-top viewpoints. I want our games media to treat games like they actually understand them, to treat the industry like they actually understand how it works, treat development like they understand how games are made, which, if the Far Cry 5 fiasco taught us anything, most media writers haven't the first clue how games are actually developed. We deserve more, not less, and certainly not the same. Iron sharpens iron. Arguments are strengthened by comparing and contrasting them to other arguments. Avoiding entire swaths of the argument, pretending things don't exist, demeaning your audience, and elevating orthodox above all else political viewpoints is the exact opposite of journalism. Jason knows it, other games writers know it, I know it, and you know it. This conflation is willful, as is the erasure of other views and other positions, and it's exactly why so many gamers want politics out of video games. I guess all I'm trying to say to you is to avoid that instinct to run in the other direction. Demand more instead. That we talk about and treat video games seriously is a great thing. That we get lots of political, historical, economic, philosophical, and above all else critical takes on the games we play and love and the industry we so deeply adore is awesome. We just need more of it. More takes, more perspectives, more balance. When the automobile came onto the scene, it didn't supplant the horse-drawn carriage just because it was new. Cars rapidly took over the roadways because they were better. They were more reliable. They even ended up becoming cheaper and easier to use. Games media makes a mistake that people are fleeing their websites just because newer, shinier objects like Twitch and YouTube exist. Guys and gals, they're fleeing your websites because your websites are bad. And it's not because of your political takes only. It's because you refuse to believe, accept, or even entertain the idea that not everyone agrees with you. And maybe there's more to a given story than just what you and your like-minded associates think. Don't ruin this for everyone. Look at the new rise of the escapist as an awesome opportunity. Try listening to your audiences for once, while you still have the chance. And hey, if you're one of those people running around saying politics don't belong in games or games coverage, well, you're completely wrong, and you too are holding back the medium. Don't run to the other extreme because you're being treated extremely. Think critically and carefully, and help steer the ship back on a good course. Games are art. Games are important. Games have deep texture and context. Let's explore all of that, not just some of it.